family, welcome to Echo Church. We are so excited to worship with you today. Echo is a great place that you can call home. And if you're joining us for the first time, we hope that you feel part of the family. If you're new to us, we would love to get to know you. So we've made it really easy to let us know that you're visiting us today. And we've got a gift to say thanks for joining us. Simply text the word ECHO to this number, 94253. Click on the link that we'll send you, and there you can share a little about yourself. And if you'd like, you can share a prayer request as well. Again, text ECHO to 94253. Then, if you're joining us in person, stop by our guest services kiosk after the service because we have a great t-shirt waiting for you. Also, now is a really great time to connect at ECHO, and we can help. We've created a one-night course designed to help you learn more about ECHO, to take your first steps to grow in your faith, and to become part of the ECHO family. We call it ECHO Steps, and everyone is invited to sign up today. Simply text the word ECHO to 94253, then click the button letting us know that you're interested in attending. We'll help you register for the next class. Do not wait. Now is the time to connect. Text ECHO to 94253 and sign up today. Finally, we believe that God has a special encouragement that He wants to share with all of us. So as we continue in the service, let's prepare our hearts to hear encouragement from God's Word.
Hope you had a safe and happy
desperate
Memorial
attempt
Day weekend.
To find something good to come out of this, Maya. Is
on
it
Tuesday, the
a
York
good
York
thing
that
the
we don't know
the
president
about and that
now is back up
and
at Echo Church. You're excited to hop into God's Word today. Why don't you let Him know it? Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Let me start here today. In April of 1935, a young man and his pregnant wife attended a church service right here in Indianapolis. The young man was so impacted by the message that day that he reached over while the preacher was preaching and he laid his hand on his bride's stomach and he prayed, "Oh God, would you make my son a preacher, and would you make him to preach like this man?" In time, that child grew, and if we could fast forward 20 years, his name is R.T. Kendall, and he's actually attending college to become a preacher. The undergraduate college that he went to had a mandatory chapel every day. Come on, somebody, that's a lot of church. He literally heard hundreds, if not thousands, of messages, and he says, "I can't remember a single one except for this one." He said, "I was so impacted by the message that I went back to my dormitory afterwards. I got down on my knees and I prayed, 'Oh God, would you make me to preach like that man?'" R.T. Kendall says he did something he doesn't ever recall doing before. He got up from praying and he called his dad. And he said, "Dad, I heard a message today, and I just had to share it with you." And he said, "I've never heard anybody preach like that." And R.T.'s dad said, "Just out of curiosity, son, what was the preacher's name?" He said his name was C.B. Cox. And the dad said, "Son, you're not going to believe this, but that was the preacher that was preaching all those years ago in Indianapolis when I prayed, 'Oh God, would you make him a preacher, and would he preach like this man?'" R.T. Kendall is still alive today. For many, many years, he was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, author of dozens of books. But I want to suggest that it began with the preaching of C.B. Cox, and even before that, can we agree? It all began with the prayer of a father. It's amazing how God hears us and responds when we pray. Prayer moves the heart of God. It changes things. Even as a pastor, when I hear stories like that, I'm like, "Oh God, I want to pray like that man." And it reminds me of a story in the scriptures where the disciples of Jesus overhear him praying. And while he's praying, they're listening and they're leaning in. And afterwards, they walk over to him and say, "Jesus, we want to pray like that." Now, that's saying something because the disciples would have grown up hearing thousands upon thousands of prayer. They grew up in a religious community. It's what they did each and every week. And yet when Jesus prayed, they said, "There's something different about how he prays. Jesus, would you teach us to pray like that?" It says this in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples simply said, "Lord, would you teach us to pray? Lord, teach us to pray." On the count of three, would you just say those four words back with me? You guys ready? One, two, three. Teach us to pray. That was pretty good. Why don't we do it one more time? You ready? Teach us to pray. God, would you teach us? Would you teach us to pray? Jesus, we want to pray like you, was the request of the disciples. They were desiring to learn how to pray powerfully, to pray effectively, to pray intimately. And so they were asking Jesus for help in doing that. I want to accomplish that very thing in this series. I know how to pray powerfully, effectively, intimately. Today we're beginning a brand new series called Breakthrough. And I think it's an appropriate name for a series on prayer. I think it's an appropriate name for a series right in the middle of all the junk we've been going through over the past couple of years, but it's also appropriate for what I hope to accomplish over the next several weeks. It's my desire that when we get into the month of September, that you would say, not only do I know how to pray powerfully and pray effectively, but I've been in the presence of God for the last month. That's my desire for you, that you've leaned into God perhaps like never before. Regardless of what breakthrough you are needing, the big thing I want us to be mindful of today is simply this, that breakthrough begins with God. Breakthrough begins with God. Regardless of what kind of a breakthrough that you are looking for in your life, breakthrough begins with God. Maybe you say, I'm looking for a breakthrough in a relationship. My marriage needs to grow or get better. I feel isolated and alone. I'm looking for a relationship. I need a better relationship with a parent or a better relationship with a child. Whatever it might be, if you're needing a relational breakthrough, the breakthrough starts with God. Maybe you say, I need a financial breakthrough. I need provision in my life. I've got some decisions I'm looking to make. I need a breakthrough. The breakthrough starts with God. Maybe for you, it's an emotional breakthrough. God, I'm desperate for hope again. I want passion back in my life. Lord, I don't remember the last time I felt your joy. I need a breakthrough. Maybe for you, it's a health breakthrough. There's been pain or there's been some kind of a setback in your health. You're praying for a miraculous breakthrough. Maybe for you, it's spiritual. You're like, God, I want to know you like never before. I don't want to just say, yeah, at one point in the past I knew you, but God, I want my best days to be ahead of me. Maybe you're praying for the salvation of a family member. You need a breakthrough. Your breakthrough begins with God, regardless of the kind of breakthrough that you are needing. What are we doing in this series? We're going to run after the heart of God. It's not simply a series. In fact, a week from tomorrow, we're going to begin 21 days of prayer. Now, this is the 21 days of prayer that I think probably most people really look forward to. In January, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. Right now, it's 21 days of prayer and feasting. You can eat whatever you want. But it's 21 days to lean in and day out, same time every day. God, I need you. And God, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I want to invite you to pray together as a church family. We're going to be in unity, praying and asking God to use us in the season ahead that we can impact more people than ever before. We've been calling September 12th our relaunch day. Of course, we never actually closed in any way, shape, or form. It's just been craziness over the past couple of years. But moreover, we're saying to the community, it's your opportunity to relaunch again. We ordered this week 30,000 mailers that are going to go out and just simply ask the question, is it time for you to live again? And we're going to preach a very similar message than we do on Easter Sunday. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead and you can live again too. God wants you to hope again. He wants you to dream again. He wants you to live again. 21 days of prayer ends on September 12th. So for 21 days, we're aligning our hearts and saying, oh God, would you break through in our homes? Would you break through in our schools? Would you break through in our community? God, would you break through in our church? We need you like never before. We encourage you to be inviting your friends and your family, your classmates, coworkers. September 12th, it's our fourth birthday celebration. We're going to have a barbecue outside and lots of fun. It's a really easy invite. But listen, I'm telling you, we're going to do some work in here. Invite God to do some work powerfully in people's lives, that people would open up their hearts to him in salvation, come back home to him, perhaps take some next steps with him as well. We're going to begin this breakthrough series today with the disciples' request. Lord, would you teach us to pray? And I love the heart behind this question. Jesus, when you pray, there's just something different about how you pray. And we want to learn to pray like that. Lord, we want our prayers to be powerful and effective and to be intimate. But they're confessing, Jesus, we need a little bit of help. We don't know how to pray like that. And I suspect that your heart can resonate with their heart. God, would you teach us to pray? Ever since the beginning, people have been trying to figure out, how do I talk with the God of the universe? And how do I commune with him? But when I pray, does God hear me? When I pray, does God move at my prayers? What does that look like? I got some good news for you today. It comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. It says this, then you will call on me and come and, you see it? Pray to me and I will listen to you. God wants to hear your voice. God wants you to hear his voice. He wants to move at your prayers. It's his desire to talk with you. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Did you know that's God's desire for your life? For you to find him. It's a promise. If you seek me with all your heart, you don't just say it, but you actually do it. It's not just a Sunday declaration. It's a Monday lived out kind of thing. You with me? Come on, somebody. Come on. Every now and then we can hear something on Sunday and feel something, but it doesn't actually translate into Wednesday. Because like Monday got in the way. No, no, no. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. It's incredibly great news that God wants to talk with you. God wants you to know how to pray. Not just that person that's been following Jesus for 30 years and they can pray like grandma could pray. You know what I'm talking about? No, God wants you to know how to pray. God wants you to know how to pray powerfully, how to pray intimately, how to pray effectively on behalf of others. God is so serious about this, he sent his son. God gets it. He's like, I know you might have a hard time connecting with the creator of the universe, the king of all creation. So I'm going to send my son. You'll look at him in the appearance of a man. And when you look at him, you're seeing me. And if you'll follow after him, you'll do what he says. You'll know what it's like to talk with me, to run with me, to live with me. So that's what we're going to do today. The disciples say, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus answers their request. We're going to lean into it. There's a lot of ways that we could break down how Jesus teaches them to pray. I just want to give you three thoughts today. And each week in this series, it's going to build on the other. I'm excited for it. Point number one is simply this. Powerful prayer arises from life-giving relationship, not a need, a crisis, or an obligation. Powerful prayer arises from a life-giving relationship, not from a need, a crisis, or an obligation. Now listen, I don't want anything I say today to make you feel bad about how you've prayed in the past, okay? I want to do the opposite. But there's a reality here that when we learn to pray like Jesus, we're going to recognize some faults and some of the ways we've prayed in our past. Are you with me? It's just going to become a reality. We're going to recognize, well, Jesus, you prayed differently. We want to know how to pray like that. And there's going to be some corrective things we see in our own lives. I think often prayer for most people is a lot like going to the mechanic. You with me? I went to the mechanic this week. Who knows? I spent too much time and too much money there. You know what I'm talking about? But when do we go to the mechanic? Out of need, out of crisis, and out of obligation. Well, I need to get my brakes fixed. That's what I had to do this week. I thought I was just getting one. Evidently, it turned out all fork. Out of crisis, right? Oh, my goodness, my car won't start. I gotta find a way to get the car to the mechanic, right? There's a crisis or an obligation. They say I should get my oil changed every however many thousands of miles. The need, a crisis, or an obligation. And so often, that's what we do with God. God, when I have a need or I have a crisis or the pastor says I should pray, well, then I'm going to go talk with you, right? None of those are bad, but life-giving prayer, powerful prayer, starts with a relationship with God. In fact, I want to show us what Jesus says. This is just how he starts out. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Let me stop for just a second. Now somebody's like, oh, no, he's going to stop on every word. I promise I won't. Just this one, all right, just this first word. Because how Jesus prays and what he begins with matters. He starts out simply by saying, Father, right? He doesn't start with a need, a crisis, or an obligation. He starts out, what? In relationship. If Katie and I, my wife, if we didn't talk until there was a need, a crisis, or an obligation, would we have a life-giving relationship? The answer emphatically is no. No. We've got to have a relationship so that when the need or the crisis arrives, we know how to talk with each other. Guess what happens with our relationship with God? When the need or the crisis arises, we know how to pray because we've been in a life-giving relationship with Him. Why is this important? How did Jesus learn to pray like this? Jesus is just doing on earth what He already learned to do in heaven. He's just practicing and exercising on earth what He was already doing when He was up there beside Dad. Are you with me? He walked and talked with God every single day. So when He's on earth, how does He start His prayer? Father. I'm just talking to Dad. Listen, when you pray, it's not your opportunity to learn how to pray like Shakespeare. Come on, somebody. No. You're not using formal language. You're not trying to pray like somebody else you once heard. You're just saying, Father, good morning. Daddy, Dad, Pops, whatever's familiar for you, right? No. Why? Because it's reminding you of who God is and how He feels about you, regardless of how you might feel about yourself. So often, I think we come into prayer with like this heavy heart and this burden of like, oh, Lord, I know what I've done. And God's like, I'm so glad that you're here. I've been looking forward to talking with you. And when you start with Father, you're being reminded that He loves you and He welcomes you into His presence. It reminds you of what it says in Romans chapter 8, that you and I are children of God, that all the inheritance of heaven in Jesus is yours. You have this opportunity to come and talk with your Father. Pray like He's Dad because He is. And this allows me to pray powerfully because I know who He is. He's my Father. He's for me. He's a good Father, so He likes to give me good things. I don't have to wonder when I pray, is God mad at me? No, God loves me. God's wild about me. I get to come into His presence and pray like He's my Dad. And then when the need and the crisis arises, I already know how to pray. And I'm not going to go and pray to Him out of obligation. Why? Because I can't wait to go and talk with Dad again. Are you with me? When I start with my Father, it changes what comes after. Number two is this. Powerful prayer starts with God first, not my list of requests. Powerful prayer starts with God first, not my list of requests. Now again, I'm not trying to make us feel bad for how we've perhaps prayed in the past or even this morning, but when we want to learn to pray like Jesus, we're going to have to change some things. So much of how we pray is telling God what He already knows. Well, God, did you know about this that was going on? Did you know about that? Did you know about grandma's foot? God, it's doing that thing again. No. God already knows all that. He sees everything. It's not our opportunity to try to justify our actions. Well, God, I want to pray, but you know what I was really feeling. No. God knows our hearts better than we do. God sees it all. He knows it all. It's not our opportunity to sort of catch God up on what's been going on. Now, you can pray however you want to pray. Listen, any prayer is better than no prayer. I'm just telling you, if you want to pray like Jesus, you're not going to start with your request. You're going to start with God first. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What's he doing? He's starting with worship. God, when I pray, I'm mindful that, yes, you are my Father, but you're also the King. You're the Creator, and you're the Holy God. And when I come into your presence and pray, I'm entering the throne room of heaven. I'm recognizing whose presence I'm in. And I get to come into your presence because of what Jesus did. The Bible says that none of us can stand in God's presence, that our sin actually separates us. But when Jesus died on the cross and He becomes our Savior, the Holy God transfers His holiness to us. Now I can come into the presence of the Holy God. And I can pray in boldness and confidence, but I'm also going to be mindful that He's the Holy One. I've shared over the years in preaching here that I'm kind of a history nerd. Like I read history books almost every day, like sometimes multiple times throughout the day. I just had my birthday, a few weeks ago, and Katie and the kids bought me several David McCullough history books. Like, I'm a serious history nerd. And one of the books I've been reading recently is John Adams by David McCullough, just a great book. But one of the things I love is there's this scene in the book, and if there's an HBO series about it if you don't want to read the book. And it's kind of funny that when John Adams, he becomes the first ambassador to Great Britain after the Revolution. And right, these revolutionaries are all about, we're gonna topple the monarchy. It's gonna be rule of the people. That when he goes to Great Britain, he can't mess things up with the king and kind of restart the war. So when he comes into the king's presence, that's what it's called, he's going to come into the presence of the king, there are things he has to do. For instance, when he walks into the room, he has to bow 3 times. And that's kind of a funny thing. As soon as the door opens, he has to get down and bow before the king. And then when he makes his way midway into the room, he's got to bow before the king. And when he gets into what they call the presence, he has to bow 1 more time, kind of looking at the king, but not looking him in the eye. You know what I'm saying? It's just a weird, sort of a weird thing. And then when he walks out of the room, he's got to walk backwards. But his eyes can't leave the king. So he might bump into stuff on his way. And then 1 more time, he's got to bow. Now think about that for a moment. What was the point? They didn't want him to ever forget, or anybody would come into the presence of the king, you forget whose presence they're in. If we've ever done that for a man here on earth, how much more so do we need to do that with God, right? I'm not going to forget that I get the privilege to be in the presence of Almighty God. Our Father, hallowed be your name. I'm going to start with God first. Lord, you're the king, you're the creator. What does he go on to say after that? Your kingdom come. God, your kingdom come. Before I start with my list of requests, I'm going to stop and say, God, what do you need from me? You're the king, you're the creator, you're the master, and I'm the servant. God, I'm not calling the shots here. No, I'm going to start with you. Lord, your kingdom come. Before I ask anything, I'm going to say, God, how can I serve you today? You ever notice the back of our Dream Team shirts around here? What do they say? Here to serve. That's not just a Sunday motto. That's an everyday motto. God, when I wake up, my purpose is to serve you by serving your children. Who do you need me to encourage? God, who can I pray for? Lord, what do you need out of me today? Before I start with my request, I'm going to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Powerful prayer starts with God first. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And listen, this is when I begin to pray powerfully. Not only that I know he's my Father, but listen, whenever I recognize that I'm praying God's will first, it changes everything. Look at what John says. He says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, talking about God. The word for confidence there in the Greek is hesed, and it simply means, or I messed it up. Hesed was from earlier, from Psalm 100. Are you with me? You're like, wait. Is he tricking us? No. It's actually parousia. There we go. There's the Greek. And parousia is this Holy Spirit confidence that I don't have confidence of my own, but when I'm in the presence of God and when I recognize what Jesus has done for me, I come in with this Holy Spirit confidence and empowerment to pray. Look what it says. And this is the confidence, the parousia that we have toward him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears your prayers. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, look at this, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Whenever I pray according to his will, he hears me. And when he hears me, what? He wants to answer my prayer. Did you know that God desires to answer your prayers? When you pray according to his will, the scriptures say, he will give you what you request. And so I'm just telling you, that fills me with Holy Spirit confidence and boldness when I pray. Now, it teaches me how to pray. Lord, you're the God of this city. So God, all the violence that's happening, that's not of your heart, that's not of your will. Lord, I'm going to pray against it. Lord, would you hold back the enemy? Would you bring in your love and your grace and your salvation? I can pray in confidence about that. Lord, you love our schools, and so I can pray, Lord, Satan can't have them. No, Lord, only you can have them, and it teaches me, oh, Lord, would students, Lord, would they see your salvation? God, would they see your grace? When they're overcome with the burdens that come with just all of the junk of being in school with friends and trying to figure out life, Lord, would they have your grace and your peace and your strength to do it? I'm praying according to his will. I could pray for my children and say, Lord, it's your desire that they be saved. And so, God, I'm going to daily pray for their salvation because I know I'm praying alongside of your heart. You're the God of unity. So, Lord, all the strife and anger and all the stuff that's going on in the world, that's not of you. God, would you unite the church? Will the global church come together, Lord, and be about you? I'm praying according to his will. Come on, it's football season. Oh, God, you love Notre Dame. It's your team. Lord, we need a national championship. Anybody? No? I might be off on that one. But I know he doesn't like Alabama. That's all I know. Come on, somebody. Powerful prayer arises from life-giving relationship. And it starts with God first. starts with God first. And here's the third and final thing. Powerful prayer recognizes my need for God. It does not try to impress God. Powerful prayer recognizes my need for God. It doesn't try to impress God, right? It's not my opportunity to get out my King James speech. No. God's not going to be impressed by that. It's not my opportunity to make God aware of my situations or try to justify my actions. None of that. God sees all. God knows all. It's my opportunity to say, God, I need you. I'm declaring, Lord, that I'm a person in need of my God. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the faculties. I don't have the smarts. It's declaring, Lord, in my life, you have rule and reign, and I need you. Powerful prayer is an opportunity to simply say, God, I don't have what it takes on my own. I'm recognizing I have needs. God, I don't have the strength on my own to forgive others. I need you to do it. Lord, I don't have the strength on my own to avoid the pitfalls or to even give myself grace after I stumble. Lord, I need you. Look at what Jesus says. This is his whole prayer in Luke 11. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us each day. God, I'm not going to worry about the future. No. I'm going to live in the moment with you right here today. Lord, I'm going to believe what Philippians 4:19 says, that you're going to supply all of my needs according to your riches in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray prayer. I'm going to pray right in line with God's heart. I can pray powerfully. God, give me my daily bread today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. We're recognizing that we're recipients of God's great grace. And we're going to agree with Ephesians 4:32 that as I'm forgiven, I'm going to forgive others. But I can't do it on my own, God. I need you. And then he goes on to say, and lead us not into temptation. God, I believe what the scriptures say, that you'll never allow me to be led into any temptation where there's not a way out. Lord, you won't put me in a place where I can't find a way out and grow in you and become more like Jesus. Jesus is teaching us, no. I need you. I've shared this before, but it's been perhaps months past. But when prayer began to change for me, it was in this space of recognizing that I need God. And I can just come clean with him. I was a campus pastor for our original campus down at Pine Lake Church in Jackson, Mississippi. There's five campuses across the state. And I had the privilege of leading our original campus, which is where we would broadcast to all the other campuses. And there'd be 6,000 people a weekend with all of our students and kids' ministries and everything going on, and over 10,000 people a month. And there'd just be days where I was like, Lord, I am so overwhelmed by this. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I would try to make sure everybody thought that I did. Are you with me? Got to make sure everybody thinks Chad's got it all together. And just the weight of it was starting to crush me. And I was sitting in a meeting with my senior pastor and several other campus pastors, and we were all talking together. And that day, Chip, our pastor, was just saying, hey, this is how I pray every day. He was just teaching us. So the first thing I tell God is, God, I need you. Because I don't have what it takes to lead my wife. I don't have what it takes to lead my children. I don't have what it takes to lead this church, and I need you. As we're all just sitting there talking, just a bunch of men, like tears start rolling from my eyes. Because what I recognize is, if my pastor, whom I love and respect, can admit that he needs God, how much more so can I? And from that day forward, almost every day of my life, the way I begin my day is this. God, I don't have what it takes. I need you. God, I don't have what it takes, but you do. And in you, I'm more than enough for every task, for every challenge, and for every opportunity. God, on my own, I don't have what it takes. I need you. And I'm telling you, there's power in that. I'm not trying to impress God. I'm not trying to tell God about all this stuff. No. God, I need you. And then I can start saying, God, I need you here, because I'm going to try to control it. God, I need you here because I'm going to try to worry about it. God, I need you here because I'm going to need the strength to forgive, or I'm going to need the strength to ask for forgiveness, whatever. God, I need you because I don't have what it takes on my own. Let me give you one more scripture and we're going to land the plane. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus continues talking. These are just several verses later. He says, so I tell you to ask and you will receive. Where do we start the message today? What kind of a breakthrough do you need? Where does breakthrough begin? It begins with God. And Jesus says, I tell you to ask and you will receive. What do we learn in Jeremiah 29? You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So why will we not do it? I'm telling you, for the next month, 21 days, starting a week from tomorrow, let's get on our knees and pursue God like never before. I tell you to ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be open for everyone who knocks. The breakthrough will come. Will you come and seek me with all your heart? Jesus says this, which one of you fathers would give your child a snake if he asked for a fish? And Jesus is trying to drive home the point. Why do you think that your good father doesn't want to give you good things? Which one of you would give your child a scorpion if they asked for an egg? No. As bad as you are, God, Jesus just being real for a moment, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. Watch this. But your heavenly Father is even more ready to give you the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. In other words, my Father stands ready to give you the greatest gift to anyone who will ask. Jesus, I need you. I don't have what it takes. Come on. Would that just be your heart posture today? Lord, I want to be filled up with your Spirit. God, I don't have what it takes for every task and challenge and opportunity, but you do, and in you I'm more than enough. God, teach me to pray. Powerful prayer. Where does it arise from? Powerful prayer arises from a life-giving relationship. It begins with God first. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And then it's simply recognizing our needs. Lord, I need you for daily bread. I need your help in forgiving the people around me. God, I need you. Lord, I do not have what it takes. Lead me from this temptation. Would you pray with me today? The Bible says that the Father of all creation stands ready to give you the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit. It says to you who ask, you will receive. To you who knocks on the door will be open to you. I wonder, where's your heart today? Perhaps you can declare like Jesus declared, God, I need you. Maybe just in your own heart right now, you just simply pray that prayer, God, I need you. If you're here today and you say, listen, I want the next month to be an opportunity where I learn to pray like I've always wanted to pray. I want to pray like I've seen that person over there pray. I want to pray like to my best ability, to my greatest capacity. What you'll find is you'll be able to pray beyond your capacity when the Holy Spirit fills you. With an open heart, would you just say this right now? God, I need you. God, teach me to pray. God, I want to have a life-giving relationship with you. I don't want to come out of need and crisis and obligation. No, I want to start with relationship. You say, God, would you teach me how to put you first? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Day in and day out, God, remind me to come and pray. God, what can I do for you? And then, God, as I present my request before you, Lord, let it not be about catching you up to speed. No. Let it be about recognizing I've got a need, and I need my God. I don't have what it takes, but he does, and in him I'm more than enough. Would you just declare your reliance on God right now? Simply, God, I need you. As we continue to pray, just for a moment, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's someone here today, and before you can begin praying with God, what you actually need to start is a relationship with God. You've heard me talk about Jesus today. You've heard me talk about the love of God today. And you're like, I don't know if I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't know if I've ever received his love into my life. And I want to give you that opportunity right here, right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But in a moment, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and say, yes, this is me. With all heads closed, all eyes closed, all heads bowed, just for a moment to say, yes, I need him. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. What does that mean? For every one of us, we're a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. When he went to the cross, he was dying to take your punishment and mine. When he rose up from the dead, he was saying that you and I could have new life. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how far from God you've been. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from him. In this moment, you can say, God, I need you. And you are forgiven. You are made new. And I want to give you that opportunity. On the count of three, don't hold back. This is your opportunity. Say, God, I want to follow after Jesus from this day forward. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand up high for a moment if that's you. Love you. That's awesome. Anybody else before we pray? If that's you, pray this simple prayer with me in your own heart. You don't have to pray out loud, just silently. God, I need you. I believe that Jesus died to forgive me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead so that I can have new life. And today, God, I'm turning from my old ways and I'm turning towards you. Oh God, would you make me new? Would you pray something like this as well? God, you say that you'll give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. And so God, I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit from this day forward because I don't have what it takes on my own. And God, I want to follow you with all I've got. Lord, for all of us, we thank you. God, we worship you. Lord, we came into your gates. We entered into your courts. God, we found your mercy, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said together, amen. Amen. Hey, here at Echo, nobody takes a next step alone. For anybody that's taking a next step today, why don't you put your hands together, celebrate right alongside of them. Come on.
Hey, thanks so much for joining with us online today. If you pray with us just a moment ago, I want to challenge you to do something right now. Text the word ECHO to 94253. Click on the link that we'll send you and then take the bold step of letting us know the spiritual decision that you just made. Don't let what God is doing in your heart stay here. We can help you connect with others and grow in your faith. So right now, text ECHO to 94253 and let us know. In fact, for anyone that's wanting prayer or anyone that's interested in connecting at ECHO or taking a spiritual next step, text ECHO to 94253 and let us know how God is moving in your heart. If you have preschool and elementary children, I also want to encourage you to find our videos that we upload just for them. You can find them on our YouTube channel, Midtown is Preschool, Uptown is Elementary. Now, these videos are a lot of fun and they're a great way to spiritually encourage your family. More than anything, I want to invite you to bring your children to experience ECHO Kids live each Sunday at Avon Middle School South. They have an absolute blast playing meaningful games, learning the Bible, talking in small groups, and singing and dancing. Our ECHO Kids team would love to welcome them very soon. Finally, if you'd like to get back to ECHO through a tithe or offering, you can do so at echochurch.cc and simply click on the Give button. If you prefer, you can also do this in the echochurch.cc app and click on the Give button there as well. We want to thank you for your generosity and let you know that God is using your gift to echo his love into the hearts of so many people. All right, again, thanks for joining us online today. Next Sunday, I want to invite you to join us in person at Avon Middle School South. And, of course, we'll continue to have our messages online as well. Listen, we love you guys, and we will see you soon.